Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of the Zettercast. I am Mike Saloom, and with me is Zetterbeard. Zetterbeard, how are you doing today?
Great. Glad to be back.
Yeah, we had to take a little bit of a hiatus. I blame myself.
Glad you're back. How's that?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you got to go to the Caribbean, you know what I mean?
Well, I think we're going to start off today's cast talking about the last two games, which would be last night's game against the Blackhawks and the night before we played the San Jose Sharks and lost both of them in just heartbreaking shootouts.
Yeah, there were definitely some tough losses. Both games we had the lead somewhat late in the game. I know the Sharks game, they tied it up, about 8 minutes left. And then last night the Hawks got that power play goal about halfway through the third and, you know, couldn't bury it. I mean, the thing was, the sad part, I think, about those games was they were playing well in the third periods of both those games. It's just they couldn't bury anything early. And, you know, I think that's definitely something that's been an issue lately is offense. And, and because they can't score any goals, they're blowing leads late because they only got a one-goal game. We can't get any insurance goals.
Sure, yeah, I think that's exactly right. There's a couple problems there. And one is late in games. Basically, any time past 7 or 8 minutes left in the third, we're playing really defensive. And I don't know if that's something Babcock's got going. I don't know if that's our guys tired. I don't know if we're just trying to sit on leads. But that's a pretty major problem. And then another problem is something I heard Mickey Redmond say there on Fox Sports Detroit the other day, and it was that in our last 20 games, we had only scored 41 goals, and that's terrible. And since then, we had one three-goal game, I think, against the Avs since then. But other than that, we had a bunch of two-goal games, and it's more of the same. And that's exactly right. I mean, he can't be mad at Howard for letting in two or three goals, and we're losing games. We need to give him a little more help than that.
Yeah, and going back on what you were saying before about the lack of goal scoring, I mean, it's weird. I think we've – As Wings fans, we've been so used to that team being such a high-flying offense, and we just can't put the damn biscuit in the basket. It's a little frustrating watching games, but I guess that's the growing pains. You know, this is something this team hasn't had to deal with for 20 years is rebuilding, and it's frustrating, very frustrating.
Yeah, I think we should really. I mean, we're all frustrated and upset, but we're still sitting at eighth. You know, we're still have a good chance to make the playoffs, and this is our rebuilding year, and we're still going to make the playoffs, you know, hopefully. Like, there's a very good chance we could still make the playoffs in our down year, you know. So, I mean, the Wings have a really good organization, and we've still got some good veteran players. It's just it's tough to find that number one guy right now, and I think we're getting some good scoring chances. It's just, you know, that's the break sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other thing we can look at, and you brought this up on the feed and when we were talking during the game yesterday, is, you know, as sucky as it is to lose two games in a row, you know, we got 2 points out of two good teams that just, you know, Chicago's just on fire this year, and unfortunately San Jose's had our number this year. So at least the team got 2 points out of it. Obviously, I think it would have been nice to at least win one of those games. But, hey, you know, at this point, any point's a good point with the playoffs right around the corner. I mean, a couple weeks.
Honestly, it kind of doesn't matter in a way. We got 2 points in two games from two teams that always beat us lately. Like, in the last few years, we cannot beat those two guys. It just never happens, and it's been tough. But, you know, the fact that we gave each of those teams 2 points doesn't even matter because they're ahead of us in the standings, and we can't catch them anyway, especially the Hawks. The Hawks clinched weeks ago. There's no way, you know. We're basically fighting for eight. So anybody above us just doesn't even matter. And all we have to worry about is the people below us. And a lot of those teams below us actually won last night. So we got to keep our foot on the pedal because even though we got a point, we still slipped a point last night.
Yeah. And the fucking the Stars. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. Sorry for dropping the F-bomb.
Earmuffs.
I should have prefaced this. Zetterbeer and I were discussing before the game that we're both half awake for some reason. So if the professionalism goes away, I'm apologizing for both of us in advance.
Well, I'll tell you why I was half awake. Because I watched the Wings lose and I was all mad after an overtime. Then I stayed up and watched the Tigers go into the 12th inning and lose. So I had trouble sleeping after that for some reason.
Yeah, and I had my hockey team over till about 1 a.m, which later in the show you guys will get to participate, hopefully, and help my hockey team pick a name. But we'll get into that at the end of the show. So just a little teaser for later, if you will.
Everybody loves polls.
But speaking of the playoffs, let us look at the playoff picture. I have the current Western Conference standings in front of us. Like you said, there's no one catching Chicago. They're 66 points.
It's just unreal. I mean, ridiculous. I would have liked to win that game, but they're what are they now? They're 31 wins, I think 5 regulation losses and 6 overtime losses or something like that. It's just unbelievable.
It's borderline. It's like video game hockey at this point.
That team is just, you know, teams get hot, teams get cold. That team has never cooled off the entire season, and it's unreal.
Yeah, you know, and you can't take anything away from them.
I hate the Hawks, but hat tip to them. They're playing really high level hockey right now.
Yeah, I think that the teams that that the Wings can catch, really, I mean, if they can put a couple games together, they can actually get up to fourth place. I don't know if that's going to happen, but they're sitting at eighth place with 45 points. Minnesota in seventh has only got 46 points, and they've been kind of tail spinning as well, so we might be able to catch them. And realistically, we could probably catch St. Louis, too, if we could beat them, for Christ's sake. I can't believe – did you see they went – on a side note, did you see they went, like, 200-and-something minutes of shutout hockey? Like, they didn't let anyone score, like, 4 games or some crazy crap like that?
We were in the middle of that, weren't we?
We
got shut out 1-0.
Yeah, which was never mind.
Yeah, that's one of those. I mean, there's a lot of teams, and some of this has to do with the shortened season where, I mean, we've hit it too. We've had hot stretches, cold stretches, and, you know, usually on a long enough timeline, that kind of straightens out and the cream rises. But this is a weird year where, you know, I mean, if this was a full season, who knows? Maybe the Blackhawks really hit a hard patch in the second half. But since it's more or less a half season, every game is just so, every game is times two, basically.
Yeah.
Every game is twice as important as it should be. And, well, you know, it's been tough, especially with, I mean, usually I'll be saying it's tough for us because we have older guys, but honestly, it's tougher for us because we have younger guys and they're trying to learn the system. We've had so many injuries and they're just thrown into the fire and they got to really learn on the fly.
Yeah. And like you said about the double, the like twice as much in the game, at least for, you know, importance sake, is it's hard to root for teams right now. Like, you know, like, oh, I hope this team beats that team, because all the teams are playing each other are like, it's like, can both of them lose? You know, it's like, I don't want any of them to get points. I mean, I'm looking at the standings right now. 9th, 10th, and 11th are Dallas, Phoenix, and the Blue Jackets, which, ugh, if what you said last night happens, I'm giving up. But
they did. Who did they beat? They beat though.
They beat Nashville last. Oh yeah. They beat the Blues last night.
So, I can't remember. Anyway, they're not as big of a joke as they usually are this year.
All three of those teams have 43 points. So, you know, if one of them wins tonight, and give me a second here, I'll look at the schedule for tonight. But, you know, one of those guys wins tonight, and then all of a sudden they're tied for eighth with Detroit. And it's going to be going to have a little bit of pucker factor to end the season for the Red Wings to make the playoffs.
Another thing to worry about the Wings is that because – getting back to the fact that we haven't scored any goals, I'm pretty sure that – isn't that the first tiebreaker? That's a tiebreaker and definitely could come into – you know, I mean, if we're tied for eighth with the team and goals scored – it comes down to goals scored as a tiebreaker.
It's not goals. The fourth tiebreaker is goal differential.
Okay.
Which, yeah, you don't want to look at ours either.
And then overtime losses aren't worth – anything anymore, right?
Overtime losses are good. Shootout wins is the one that screws us.
We're like actually 6-5, I think, in shootouts.
Yeah. Anyway, but what we're to get back on track a little bit. Yeah, Columbus, Phoenix, and Dallas all have 43 points. They're right behind the Red Wings. Dallas actually has a game in hand. And as far as the games tonight, Dallas and San Jose are playing each other. So as much as it pains all of us, we have to root for the Sharks. And then, of course, Columbus and Minnesota are playing each other. And really, I hope Minnesota wins because they're already on top of us anyway. So just let them win, you know.
Yeah, it's better for teams above us to just get some points. And, you know, you got to really hope that there aren't any three-point games and situations like that too, because every point really matters. Like, you know, it's really big that we got 2 points out of those 2 losses. That's that could really, really matter. I think that the guys on at Fox Sports Detroit said they thought we needed 10 points to get in, and since then we got 2. So that will give us 8 points. And what do we have left? 7 games remaining, I think.
Yeah.
You have that in front of you.
I'm pulling it up right now. But
it's 6 or 7 games left. So, I mean, that's we got to win some games. We've got 2 against Nashville. Those are big games. We play Vancouver. That's going to be tough. I think that Vancouver's on the road, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we've got – or the Wings have 7 games left. At Nashville, at Calgary, at Vancouver, then at home against Phoenix, Los Angeles, Nashville, and then at Dallas. So the good news is we're playing Phoenix and Dallas one more time apiece. So if you beat them, that's like a 4-point swing. I think the Calgary game is winnable. We've kind of had Vancouver's number this year, so maybe we'll get lucky.
Calgary had our number this year.
yeah. I mean, I think...
Revenge of Yuri Hudler.
Yeah. I wish they had traded someone else there, but we'll get into that later, too. But, yeah, I think...
So, if we look at that schedule, I mean, Phoenix is winnable. Calgary's winnable. We should win both of those, I think, for sure. So, that's 4 of the 6 we need right there.
I think they can beat Nashville. I don't think that's a problem.
You got to split at Nashville, at least. You got to split it. So, if you split Nashville... That's really putting us right there, you know. Now we're right on the cusp. And of course, it's all speculation. Any one of those teams could just go on a tear, and then the 8 points, 10 points, whatever we're coming up with means nothing. So it's all just, you know, some guy smarter than me crunching numbers and figuring what how it should go down. But that what makes sports fun is how it should go down isn't always how it does go down.
It's true. It's actually the original reality TV. Jersey Shore doesn't count. So
I wouldn't mind seeing Snooki take a hit or two.
God, she could probably take a hit better than Franzen can, but anyway, enough of the negativity since we're being negative about the Wings. I think on a positive note to close out the playoff thing, you know, they've for how this season's gone, they've done well. They just I think they just need to gel a little bit better, and you know, hopefully they get into the playoffs. And my whole hope is they get in the playoffs, and yeah, they're probably going to play in Chicago, which they're probably going to suck. But get the kids some experience. That way, when next year rolls around, they're that much better. And I think that is the goal for that team. Plus, who knows? You never know. Once you're in, Lord knows what can happen. You know, Jimmy Howard goes insane and catches a streak. I mean, that's how the Ducks went to the finals in '99. It's just they, you know, they Jaguar wouldn't let anyone score on him. So you never know.
Yeah, it's been frustrating. And, you know, a lot of people are mad at Ken Holland for not making moves. But, you know, if the moves aren't there, you can't force them, you know. You don't want to give too much away, especially when we've got such good young players coming up. So I can't really blame Ken yet, you know. If we have another couple bad seasons, then maybe I'll start getting on his case. And you can't be mad at Babcock because – you have to look at what he worked with. And if you just look at the injury list for this year, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable we're even in the running. We should be in dead last with all of the talent we lost for all the games that we lost.
Yeah.
That was just the other day. I think it was last night that Cole Yakubo got his first point as a wing. And we're in the final stretch of the season, but he's only played 5 games. So it's just it's unreal. It's been a tough season. And the fact that we're even in the running is a positive at all. So if we miss the playoffs, it's a rebuilding year. That's going to be some of it, and a lot of it is just fluke bad luck type situation.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Kenny Holland and acquisitions, why don't we talk about our two features. One of them was a poll that was voted on by the Zetterbeard fan base, or the Zetter cult, as I named it yesterday. and our wing of the week that everyone who wanted to hear about was Jordan Tootoo. So, Jordan Tootoo.
Yeah, I'd like to say a little about Jordan here. You know, everybody hated Jordan Tootoo. I can't say I didn't. I hated Jordan Tootoo almost more than anyone. And when they signed him, I was furiously mad. But he grew on me quick. It didn't take any time at all. And he's a great player, real hard nose, skates hard, plays hard. Doesn't have a lot of touch around the net, but he's really worked hard out there, and that's something you can really appreciate from a guy like that. He obviously came from Nashville. We had faced him quite a few times against Nashville, and he was always a, a bit of a thorn in our side. And he was he grew up in Canada. He's Canadian, and he was Aboriginal. I think he belonged to the Inuk tribe. I'm getting it wrong. I'm sure you guys will let me know. I'm more of a hockey guy than a cultural expert, so take it a little easy on me at least. And he had some tough times growing up. His whole tribe was relocated by the Canadian government, and a lot of those tribal communities always end up with really high crime rates, a lot of drug and alcohol abuse, and his was no different. But luckily for him, he turned to sports and you know, really capitalized on it. And he's to make it in the NHL at all, you're a great player, and I think he's a very solid pickup for us. I really like him a lot. He had some hard times growing up. His brother died, committed suicide, and I think it was 2001 or two. And you know, he just dedicated the season to him and kept on plugging. And that really says a lot about the character and the type of player he is. And he's exactly the kind of guy that will really help the Wings, I think, moving forward.
Yeah, like you. I mean, that's definitely some. I can't even imagine playing under those circumstances. But like you, when they signed him, I was just like, what? And I couldn't stand the guy. But then you kind of got to realize he's one of those players that you love to have on your team, but if you're playing against him, it's just he's a pain in the ass, you know. But high energy, will hit anything that moves. Still likes have still shot the puck, you know. Even though, like you said, not a great touch around the net, but he puts the puck towards the net. And you know what? I will say this. There's some guys he's dropped the mitts with that I wouldn't mess with. I mean, guys like Precht, it looks like they're twice his damn size, and he's taking swings at him. So,
oh, he's 5'9", 180, something yeah. like that. He is a small fella.
On skates.
You know. Yeah, I don't know if they're where they're measuring the 5'9 from, but yeah, I mean, he's no hoodler, but he is not a large man by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but you know what? He's probably one of the few Wings I've seen that all year hasn't taken a shift off, for lack of a better term. I mean, every time he's out there, he's moving his feet, and he hasn't gotten a lot of penalties. I mean, I think at least a quarter of the season without actually committing a minor penalty. I mean, I'll look at his PIMS real quick.
Yeah, it's just fighting me. You know, I like what you said there. He does put pucks on the net, and I've seen him. He's had some really good scoring chances that didn't materialize. Some of it's because he's not really a shooter. Some of it's just, you know, bad luck or good goaltending for that matter. But I think that we didn't know it at the time, but Tutu really helped us deal with the fact that Darren Helm has missed the entire season. He's a very Helm-like player in the fact that he'll get out there, he'll work hard, he'll hit guys, and he'll get to the net, he'll make things happen. And Helm's not a great shooter either, but he's just out there working hard, and I think they're a very similar type of player.
Yeah, Helm's obviously got a little bit more speed on him. I guess it's that you trade the speed for the grit when you go 2-2 over Helm. But no, I think he's been a great addition to the Red Wings. I think, you know, there's been times I've never been a big advocate of having that fighter-type guy on the team, but he brings more than just the fists. And, I you know, kind of reminds me to a point of, like, you know, like Kosher or McCarty. You know, those guys that they would contribute in more ways than just he. It's not like they're George Parros from the Ducks, or I think he's in Montreal now. But, you know, that's his only job, is to go out there and punch someone in the face, you know.
Right.
These guys will contribute for hockey reasons as well as being the enforcer, I guess.
That's a better place to be. There's no place in the game anymore for guys that just go out there and not at the NHL level. You can't just be a fighter. There's just no place in the game for it. Fights are on the decline, it seems like to me. And you know, it's been exciting as a Wings fan. It's been years since we had a guy who would consistently drop the gloves. I can't remember, only a few games into the season, he basically already had more fighting majors than we had had in like the last four seasons combined or something.
Yeah.
So he's going to blow away whatever the recent history, even on this short season. But like you say, he gets out there, he does some stuff. He's not afraid to work hard. He's not afraid to get against the boards and dig for pucks, and I think that's important.
Yep. Well, I think all in all, he's been a great, like I said, been a great addition to the Wings, and I hope he can keep it up. So But is there anything else you'd like to add on to Mr. Tutu? Or you that pretty much
no,
wrap
I
it
think
up
we're on the same page with the Tutu. I think he's just a good hard-nosed player. He'll dig hard for pucks, and he's one of those players. I mean, everybody wants to have a Alex Ovechkin, a Sidney Crosby, but you know that's not what hockey teams are. There's a lot of guys like Drew Miller or Eves or Tutu that just get in there and just work hard, and you know you need those guys. You need those grind line, for lack of a better phrase, type guys that just get in there and wear stuff down and tire guys out and do the hard work, you know, do the heavy lifting.
Well, you definitely can't, I will say this, and maybe to close it out, you definitely cannot win championships in the league without role players like Tutu and guys like that. They're just, your stars are never going to be able to carry you all the way through. So, but that was our the feature that we brought up to you guys in the poll question, the wing of the week. So we're gonna we'll put up. I'm sure you want to put. We'll put the if I could talk correctly. We'll put something up later in the week to see what you guys want to hear about next week. Unless I decide to go to the Caribbean again, we'll have another chance. But to see who you guys would like to talk about, if you want to you know bring up one of the hear a little bit more about a name you've heard more often, like the Zetterbergs and the Datsyuks, or maybe talk about maybe some of the kids, you know, Brian Lashoff, Jakob Kindle. I'm kind of drawing a blank right now. But on that note, we had another thing that Zetterberg and I discussed another feature we want to talk about, which is called Waiting in the Wings.
We'll never like to miss out on a pun.
Yeah, we're kind of nerds like that. So, but this week's is going to be our newest acquisition, Danny DeKeyser. And unfortunately, there's not a lot out there that I could find about Mr. DeKeyser, so I'll give you what little I can, and then we're just going to think we're kind of just discuss his play. But he's from Michigan, went to Western Michigan University, was the highest, probably the front runner for college free agents. A lot of teams were after him. The Wings were obviously after him. But the list is very long. The Flyers, the Lightning, the Sharks, the Ducks, Flames, Oilers, and a couple others were actually after the kid. So, and he picked his hometown team, which is pretty awesome. So he's 6'3", 23 years old, and you know what his profile says is he's an excellent skater and a good defenseman. And I think watching the games, you can't doubt that.
Oh yeah, I really like what I've seen from him. Yeah, I read he's a defensive defenseman, but I've seen him take a few decent-looking slap shots, so that's important. He's not afraid to throw the puck at the net, and I'll tell you what, I can't get over how great he looks. I don't want to say second coming of Lidstrom, but I'm really excited about this kid. And I was actually at the game. His first game he played against the Avs, I was at the game, and I saw him make one mistake where he hesitated behind the net, setting up a play a little too long and had a turnover, but other than that, and it ended up resulting in nothing. The Avs didn't score a goal because the Avs suck. But other than that, I basically can't find mistakes he's making. He's out there against first lines. I mean, it doesn't get any better than the Blackhawks first line right now. And he's out there against them, and he's just making them look like fools. He's unbelievable out there. It's real intuitive. He's playing lights out, and it just. I can't even explain to people how crazy that is, that he could just come into the league and play at such a high level out of nowhere, like with no experience at this level. It's really hard to believe how good he's been.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that. He hasn't made a lot of mistakes. He's starting to play more and more minutes against the a lot more of the team's higher players. And I'll say the two things I've been very impressed with him about is his skating ability. The kid's got great footwork, transitions extremely well, and like you, I don't want to go ahead and say second coming, but I kind of, you know, it's just like for a rookie, for how his feet move, you know, and the way that Red Wings have always been, they're they've always been a transition puck control team, and his skill set appears to fit that game plan really, really well, and I think he's going to be a damn good player. Definitely would like him to see him boom a few more shots toward the net eventually, and I'm not knocking him for not doing it. It's a hope, because it would be nice to have someone do that again, a little bit more than what we've had lately. But I mean, I'm excited about him. I'm excited to see him get a full training camp in and then come next year. You know, hopefully he gets a little bit of playoff experience. And he's also big, and you know, he plays physical. I mean, that's what, on a team that doesn't have a lot of guys who play physical, especially some of the guys who should. Looking at you, Erickson and Franzen, but you know, it'd be nice to see if he can throw his weight around a little bit and actually play hard nosed defense, because that'd be great for us to have that again.
Yeah, I can't even believe how great he's been. I'm super excited. Babcock obviously loves him because he was the first game he played, he was out there on penalty kills. Like, that's it. If you're a defenseman, to be out there on penalty kills, it's like a coach can't trust you more than that. So he's out there, he's doing good things. And I honestly, since he's come up, to me, he's looked like the best defenseman on the roster. And I lock this kid up, Ken Holland, sign him to as long of a deal as you can, because I can't see this one going wrong.
No, he with a little bit of grooming, I think he's going to be a star. And you know, hopefully they can keep him around. But to kind of segue into our next topic, one of the people that have had to sit for him to get in the roster is Ian White.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Ian White. He was struggling a little early in the season, and I think Babcock decided to make a statement and sit him down. And I love when coaches do that kind of stuff. I really like that a lot. Ian White was probably our number two defenseman coming into the season, maybe number three. And the fact that Babcock's willing to sit him really shows some guts on his part. But what I don't understand is why he's still sitting, because he's come back and I thought he played well. But I don't know if it's just too many – we've got too many defensemen on the roster, or I don't quite understand what's going on right now with him. Yeah. Do you have any ideas on that, Mike?
No, I don't really know either, to be honest with you. I mean, like, from what we've been talking, I mean, it's not like he's been playing all that bad. I mean, the only thing I can think of is maybe he's kind of – it's a combination of maybe he's in Babcock's doghouse for whatever reason, and maybe he's just decided that, you know what, they're going to go in a new direction next year, so let's get the kids as much ice time as they can now. And, you know, but with the playoffs on the line, I don't know. I mean, is Ian White better than, say, Brendan Smith? I would say yes, and Brendan Smith's been out there. You know, I mean, hell, he made a hell of a bad play the other night against the Sharks to give them a power play at the end. I don't know. I mean, it's not that Ian, I don't hate Ian White. I don't love him. I mean, when he was playing with Lidstrom, he was a machine when they first got him. But, you know, lately he's just been kind of run of the mill. So that's the only thing I can think of, is maybe he's not playing any better or any worse than anybody else. So let the new guys get a taste, because I'll guarantee you, with the way he's been getting treated this year, he's probably not going to be on the team next year. This is his last year of his contract. There was a lot of rumors that they were going to move him at the deadline, and they couldn't find a home for him. So I think this is going to be it for White. So I wouldn't expect him to be in too much longer. Maybe if they do make the playoffs this year, as, you know, kind of as a stabilization effect with, you know, since he's a veteran defenseman, but more than that, I can't see him making too many starts.
Yeah, I just can't get over how he's sitting. I mean, I understand what Babcock's doing to a point. I understand get the young guys start. I mean, Kendall has a bigger upside at this point than White. White's an older guy. You know what you got with White. And the thing with White is he's consistent. Ian White is Ian White, and you know what you got, and you know what you always get. Where we got a lot of guys out there now, like Kendall and Smith, and Kendall's been overall great. Smith's been overall very solid. But they'll make just brutal, terrible plays, and they'll just terrible turnovers in their zone and stuff. And that's the kind of stuff that Ian White is a little less likely to do, I feel like. So I understand where Babcock's coming from. Get the young guys experience, especially if they're also thinking of this as a rebuilding year, with whether they want to admit it or not, it is. And I understand where Babcock's coming from, but what I don't understand is why Ken Holland didn't move Ian White. We've got six great defensemen, especially with DeKeyser now. They look great out there. They're playing pretty good. You know, I mean, we're losing a lot of games 2-1, 3-2. So that's not on the defensemen as far as I'm concerned. That's not on the goalie. That's on the scorers. I think they're playing good as a unit. I don't care what you get for Ian White. I don't care if you trade him for like a fifth round pick. You've just got to move him. Move him for anything. Anything you can get is going to be a bonus, because anything you get is something while he's sitting on the bench, you got nothing. And I mean, we've already got Lashoff sitting, and that's our, as far as, he's our seventh defenseman. So we've got defensive depth. No reason to keep him, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, hell, if nothing else, trade him for a puck bag and a Snickers bar. You know, just get something. But I will say I agree with you on him being more of a sure hand, and we have, you know, and having him out there wouldn't be a bad idea. But yeah, if you're just gonna give the kids the reins, then if nothing else, for his sake, move him. But like I said, you never know. I mean, the front offices of these teams, Lord knows what maybe no one wanted him. I mean, I can't imagine that, but I don't know.
We traded Kent Huskins. We could trade Ian White. There's no way. I mean, if nothing else.
Very good point.
trade him to an East Coast team for anything. We won't even see him again. It won't come back to haunt us this year, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to see him again next season.
It's tough to second guess the front office, because it's all cigar smoke filled rooms, and you have no idea, and I have no idea, and we're all just guessing and second guessing and guessing again. So it's tough to know. But I mean, Babcock's made it very clear that he does not want Ian White on this team. It couldn't get any more clear than basically sitting your number two defenseman. DeKaiser's out there; he's getting 18 minutes a game, and Ian White is a healthy scratch every week. It's just, he doesn't want him. He and Ken Holland should have had a little powwow, and Ken Holland should have moved him for anything. I don't care if you trade him for nothing, and all you trade him for is brownie points to another GM who owes you a favor. That's still something. And at this point, he is contributing nothing to the team, and it just doesn't make sense to have him sitting there.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. And, you know, like I said, the only thing I can think of is maybe it's a little bit of an intangible is, maybe he's just in Babcock's doghouse. But Babcock doesn't seem to be a coach that's going to be vindictive on that. But, you know, like you said, who knows? Those guys are in those positions for a reason. Maybe we're just, you know, and something has to be going on. Maybe we'll call it the Larry Murphy effect, perhaps. We'll never know.
That's what's going to happen on this podcast. If you take another trip to the Caribbean, it's going to be the Zetterbeard and Larry Murphy podcast.
Hey, if Murph wants to come take my spot, I have better looking glasses, though, as you can see on my Skype. But, you know, well, you guys can't, but Zetterbeard can. So I'm not wearing the swag glasses. So anyway,
get some hipster glasses if you want to.
Yeah, do I look
get a job at Fox Sports Detroit? Everyone knows that.
You met me. Do I look hipster?
Did Larry Murphy look hipster? Maybe that was the problem.
Touché. I mean, one thing I really want to bring up, since we're talking about the team and obviously the team, but just their play lately, is what is going on with our stars? You know, you and I were discussing last night, I've never in my life seen Zetterberg and Datsyuk specifically. I'm going to call them out a little bit in case Ken Holland's listening, on making terrible, terrible passes, especially when we're in the zone, even on power play stuff. I've never seen the Red Wings miss as many passes, just bad passes, as I have in the last 2 weeks. I don't know how you feel about that. Well, you know, I do to a point, but I mean, you want to kind of expand upon that, because I just don't get it. Are they forcing stuff or what?
I think it's two things. I think they know they're down to the wire. Usually by this time of the season, we've got it locked. We're locked up. We're not talking, are we going to make the playoffs? Lately, we're talking, are we the eighth seed? Are we the sixth seed? Are we the fifth seed? You know, and then in years past, we're talking, are we the first seed? Are we the second seed? But I think that they're not used to it, and I think that they know they're up against the wire. And first and foremost, they're forcing stuff, especially passes. And secondly, the problem that we have had for years is that everyone on this team is a pass-first guy. Every once in a while, Datsyuk will get a bug up his ass, and he'll go crazy on the other team, and he'll just, like that goal against Nashville earlier this season where he went around every single player single-handedly and scored the goal. He'll do that, and he can do that, but he doesn't usually do it. He's usually looking for the pass. Zetterberg's looking for the pass. Lately, Franzen's looking for the pass, and he's actually had some pretty solid assists, which I guess is better than nothing.
And then what he's usually
doing?
We
don't have a shoot first guy. And last time we had a shoot first guy was the beginning of the season. Bruner was doing it. And guess what? A whole season with the Wings has done. Turned him into a pass first guy.
Well, he shot a little bit more last night watching him. You know, I think the problem is, you know, and I think Mickey brought it up in the Sharks game. It's like, you know, yeah, you can't blame the kid. He's 25, but he's a rookie. You know, and the teams are and players are smart, man. They're gonna figure out your game, and you know, it's kind of like. They pick up on your style and they know how to defend against it. And I don't want to knock Bruner. I would like to see him go back to shooting more. And last night he was definitely shooting the puck a little bit more and against the Sharks. And I know he loves to score. I mean, the game you were at in Colorado, he scored the third goal. And I mean, the kid, looked like a Pavel Bure celebration, how excited he got. So oh, yeah. I just want him to shoot more. But you're right is, you know, we're missing that element to a point, but just our stars are they need to take control and they're not. And I while Datsuk and Z and Franz and, you know, they can pass and they can be playmakers, put the puck to the net. I mean, there's been a lot of goals that have gotten scored on the Red Wings and it hasn't been pretty plays. It's just the other team just tosses it to the net and it goes in.
A huge percentage of goals in the NHL are what we always call garbage goals.
Yeah.
You know, they're unintentional redirections and stuff of this nature, or off the back of the goalie, skate kicks it in, stuff like this. It happens all the time. And it does, you know, when it doesn't happen, when you're not shooting at the net, you're exactly right. And a lot of that too, I don't want to get too far off track here, but everyone knew we'd be hurting when Lidstrom left. And we are hurting because Lidstrom left, but I don't think that most people realized how important Holmstrom was.
Yeah.
And as this season's gone on, you can tell. I mean, Cleary's tried to do some screening. Franzen's up there every so often, but they look ridiculous up there. There are no Holmstrom, and we really miss Homer in front of the net. And, you know, he was he had a lot of redirections, and I'm not even going to call those garbage goals because he was really good at what he did. But he also blocked the vision of the goaltender, which resulted in garbage goals that he didn't even touch.
Well, it's just as simple as getting traffic to the net, screening goaltenders. Because, I mean, come on, NHL goaltenders are good. If they see it, they're going to stop it 99% of the time. You know, so you got to, you know, you're right. Holmstrom's been underrated. I mean, I think the focus was on Lidstrom retiring. I mean, when Homer retired, it was like, oh, well, that sucks. But it's like, he did a hell of a lot. He definitely wasn't the prettiest skater in the world. He didn't have a rocket shot. I think he might have had 10 shots his entire career that were before the circles. You know?
Oh, so, yeah, he wasn't much of a slap shooter. But I saw him take a couple, and it always looked a little awkward.
but that style complemented the Red Wings' style of, you know, making a lot of passes and then getting it to the net. But without that, you just gotta bury it. So it'd be nice to have someone like Franzen with some size or you know, I mean, I think that's why actually Miller and Eaves have been scoring, and Abdelkader have been scoring. Like, they're going to the net.
Oh, Abdelkader's on fire. He's got as many goals as Zetterberg now, I think. And he's got as many goals as Franzen, I think, now.
Justin Abdelkader currently, he's got 8 goals. So, yeah, he's tied with Franzen and Zetterberg, and he's one behind Cleary. Who, I will say this, Cleary definitely picked the season up after we yelled at him for the beginning.
Cleary looked terrible at the beginning of the season, and no one was calling for his head worse than me. But I think it was just he had a leg surgery, maybe it was a knee, and I think that he just needed time to get back skating and get back playing. And the second half, he's turned it on, although he's a huge minus. I don't know what he is, but, you know, minus, plus minus is kind of a bull stat. I mean, you can kind of apply it to defensemen, but it's tough to apply to forwards.
Cleary's minus 10.
Yeah, that's not too good. I mean, Lidstrom it wasn't Lidstrom's Norris year. I think he was a minus 1. So, I mean, it didn't mean he wasn't good. It just, you know, you don't sometimes. Plus minus is a team stat. It's hard to pin one guy with a plus minus.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I think it can trend. I mean, if some guy's just a deep, deep minus, you know, that might be a track record type thing. But, yeah, you know, it. You can't count. You can count it for forward sometimes, but then I'm going to get into my diatribe about me being a hockey player and yada yada yada. So we won't get into that. But no, I think getting back on topic though, man, we are tired. We're like going all over the place on this.
We're rambling bad.
It's all right. So I'm apologizing for the rambling, guys. We're trying to make it a discussion, like you people were really here with us. But I think we're just out of it. So, but yeah,
we don't let you people talk. We just talk right over you.
But getting back to the topic, yeah, the Stars need to pick it up a little bit, especially in the last stretch. You know, I was kind of hoping when the Wings had a break between games, I think it was the Sunday game against St. Louis all the way to the Sharks game, maybe they would kind of get their stuff together. And we'll see. Maybe they still have, and it was just the bad bounces against good teams they played. So we'll see.
A lot of it's good goalies are playing good teams. A lot of it's just not taking the shot. There's a lot of times we get guys in the slot. Zetterberg, I'm talking to you, and he just won't pull the trigger. Bruner as well. And you know, I'm watching games. They're on NHL Network. They're on NBC. And when those idiots are calling you out for not shooting, you're really screwing up because those guys don't know anything.
Yeah, when Pierre McGuire knows what's going on, there's a problem.
Yeah, when Pierre McGuire is giving you hockey advice, you are not playing at the top of your form.
All I can tell you is Squall Cat was not happy with the lack of shooting. So he got him his brand new Red Wings collar, and he's just laying there looking at me like, I'm upset about this, so I'm going to take a nap. Anyway, well, speaking of watching the game, I know a lot of people watch the games with you and comment on the stuff. And I know we were discussing about actually getting the viewers involved a little bit more. So we're going to look to the feed a little bit, maybe answer a couple questions that are on the Zetterbeard page. And while we're pulling that up, we are going to have a couple poll questions. I know I brought it up earlier, but we're going to have discuss potential players for next season. You want to talk about that one, Z, and I'll bring up my other one?
Yeah, I think let me transition to that with I had a few questions here from people, and it's basically like what's wrong with the Wings type questions, and one of the polls we're going to have is going to be what is the Wings' greatest need in the offseason, and the first need I can think of is we need a natural scorer. We need a guy that will shoot first every time. We need a guy with some touch around the net that can just get in there and make things happen like Datsyuk can sometimes when he wants to. We need another guy like that to be able to eat up all these passes that everybody else is throwing around. So that'll be one option. The next is, do we need a veteran defenseman? We've got a lot of young defense talent. Cronwall hasn't really stepped up like I'd hoped. I think he's had an okay season, but it just the defense is really up and down this season. When they're great, they're great. They make really bad mistakes, and what's going on there? You know, is it a coaching problem? Do we need a veteran defenseman? Is mainly the question. Do we need a guy, pick up an older guy who can settle things down back there and not be on the injured list all year like Koliakovo? And then, you know, I'll leave the next option open. Is there something else we need? I know a lot of people are calling for Babcock's head. I don't agree with that. A lot of people are calling for Holland's head. I think it's a little early for that. But you guys can fill in the blanks on that one and let us know what you think, and we'll comment on it.
Yeah, and getting to the calling for people's heads, I don't think anyone needs to go right now. I mean, like we said earlier in the cast, this is a rebuilding year whether you like it or not. A lot of people picked the Wings to not even be anywhere near the playoff picture, and we're in the thick of it in the home stretch of the season. And, you know, there's a lot of talent on this team now. This is the first time in 20 years, literally 20 years, that this team's had to rebuild. And for them to do what they've been doing with the injuries that they've had and the new player injections, losing legends, you know, I don't think anyone needs their head called for. I think what they need is a training camp. You know, we didn't have that this year. And it was, you know, Zetterbeard and I discussed this right as the season was starting. You know, I was almost hoping the lockout would go full. And I'm a huge, huge hockey fan. Not just a Red Wings fan. I'm a huge hockey fan. But looking at it from a Red Wings standpoint, this was a perfect storm for the Wings to miss the playoffs this year if they do miss the playoffs. I hope they don't. But it's a perfect storm for it because no training camp. Which is one of the reasons I think people like Cleary and all them started off slow. You've got a ton of new players who don't know each other. So you've basically, the team's basically had to learn on the fly on how to play together. So I don't think calling for anyone's head from a front office standpoint or anything like that is the answer. I wouldn't even blame the players so much. I mean, I'm looking at some of the things on your feed right now. People are blaming Howard and this. I mean, you know, there's no one to really blame. I mean, yeah, players play bad sometimes. That's just life, you know. And sometimes
how do you think Howard ranks in the league? What do you think?
Like stats wise,
top what? What would you say?
I haven't watched a lot of Eastern Conference. I'd say I'm slightly biased. I'll say he's top five, but you know,
I'm going to say top seven,
top 10 definitely.
He's a great goalie. I think he's putting up good numbers, and I think he's putting up good numbers with a defense that isn't always there for him.
Exactly. You know,
and that's got to be taken into account. You know, it's easy to be a great goalie when you got Lidstrom in front of you, but you got to really work for it when you've got Lashoff in front of you. You know, it's a little different.
Well, I'll pull up his stats while we're talking about this, but how many games have you and I watched where there's no way in hell we're anywhere near that game without him? I mean, he playing off of his ass. I mean, yeah,
he makes unbelievable saves. You know, I know a lot of people are getting on him for losing these two shootouts, and you could see he got on himself after the Sharks game. He shattered his stick. He was pissed, and he really wants to, you know, put this team on his back, and he really does. And I hate shootouts. I don't think they should be a part of the game. It's nothing to do with hockey. They're such a joke as far as I'm concerned. But they're part of the game now, and we gotta deal with them for the time being, even though there's a lot of guys campaigning against him. But I mean, he was mad. But we had plenty of chances on the other end of the ice, and we didn't score our shootout goals. You know, Nyquist had a nice move and couldn't capitalize last night against the Hawks. And there's a few, like, it's just, you know, if we're not scoring, we can't win. And that's what it comes down to. I think Howard's keeping us in games, allowing 2-3 goals against teams that are super tough, who are teeing up and taking 40, 45 shots a game. That's a ridiculous number to be getting through to him. And if he's facing 45, 50 shots a game and he's allowing 2.4 goals or whatever his goal allowed is, that's, to me, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm looking at his numbers right now. I mean, they're not bad considering, like you said, he doesn't have Lidstrom playing in front of him. He's 13th in the league in save percentage. And that's counting some guys who aren't really starting goaltenders because, you know, some guys only play like technically our goals against leader right now is that Mrazek kid.
It's like two flat or something.
Yeah. I mean, he's got
two games.
He's got a 2.37 goals against. That's not horrible. I mean, obviously, every goalie wants to see that lower, but
that should be fine. That should be fine for us. We have to be able to score 3 goals a game.
Yeah, that's exactly.
We have to. If we can't score 3 goals a game, we shouldn't need, and we're not. We're not, like we said earlier, we're scoring 2 goals a game. That's our average. That's a joke.
I mean, he's, you know, he hasn't done too bad in goals allowed either. He's only 80 goals allowed in the season, and that's not great considering it's a shortened season, but that's, you know, what, the 48 games of the season, he's playing well. I can't do the math off the top of my head. He's doing well. I wouldn't blame him. I think if it wasn't for Jimmy Howard, without Jimmy Howard, there's no way we're even mentioning the playoffs right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, Jim Howard's a good goalie. There's nobody should be calling to replace him as far as I'm concerned. I think he's a good goalie. Our defense is just going to get better. They're going to settle down one way or another. We're going to make some changes or whatever's got to happen. They're just going to get some experience and they're going to play better. And once that happens, Howard's numbers will look a lot better. But even the way they look now, I'm fine with. I think he's a great goalie. I don't think we could find a goalie out there better than him. Perfect. If you want to make some improvements on goalie, maybe we could talk about replacing Gustafson, but Howard has to stay.
I agree. Well, is there anything on the Zetterbeard page you want to bring up as far as questions?
Yeah, I'll read a few, and why don't you respond, and then I'll respond after you.
Got it.
And here's one from Chris Statfield, and we kind of already touched on this one. It was basically, who should the Wings try for during the offseason to jumpstart the offense, meaning free agents? So we'll touch on that a little. Or do we need a new coach and or playbook?
I don't think we need a new coach. I think Babcock's a good coach. Like I said, I think this is a – I think what this is a product of a shortened season and a lot of new players. As someone who plays myself, it's even tough in beer league when you've got a bunch of new guys on your team to gel. And, you know, there hasn't been a lot of time for them to practice and get used to it, and they're in a tough Western Conference – they're probably in one of the best divisions in hockey. you know, it is what it is, you know. So I don't think making changes right now in the coaching, the front office and bench boss positions, I guess you could say, those aren't needed. I definitely think they need some kind of a pure score. I would leave the defense as it is. I think with Cronwall and, you know, a couple of the other guys, yeah, they're a little younger, but I think the team's got a good, solid defensive core. And I don't know who the free agents are, so I can't really give you a name, Chris, but I think they just need a score. Like you know, maybe someone like a Hosa or something like that. Someone who just shoots the puck. Or I mean, maybe it's as simple as working with Bruner and say, you're going to be our trigger man. Your job's to get open and rifle the puck at people. So in addition to that, maybe you get someone more of a role player, like a Ryan. Like, you know, it would have been nice if we could have picked up like Ryan Clough from the Sharks, because that guy goes in the net, puts his shoulder down, and gets the work done. You know, I mean, somebody's going to pack their lunch for 60 minutes and go do the stuff that nobody else wants to do.
That's a great point. I think that the Wings have at the skill level. I mean, we have some tutus, of course, like we talked about, but at the high end level, we've got too many finesse players. So we don't have guys that want to get dirty and get right in front of the net, not our best players. And we don't have players that want to really score a ton of goals, it seems like.
Yeah, so to answer Chris's question, like I said, I don't know players-wise off the top of my head, and we just didn't pull that up. I'm sorry. But plus, I think we're going to leave that discussion maybe for the offseason a little bit more and start actually digging in on the free agency market and who's out there. But I think either a score or someone or a good talented person who will go to the net and wreak havoc. That I think that is what the Wings need more than anything else right now. And I really think they've needed it for the last few years. I mean, sure. You see teams like the Ducks, the Kings, the Sharks, they win. Maybe not the Sharks anyway, but they win because they've got big guys who are still talented. I mean, look at Ryan Getzlaff. The guy's a beast and he still has hands. And yeah.
Or like Joe Thornton. Thornton's a monster.
Yeah. Too bad.
I hate Joe Thornton.
If Joe Thornton,
fast, he can, oh my goodness. Can he pass? He's got great hands around the net.
Yeah. The only thing he's missing is a heart. If Joe Thornton had heart, he would
also be class.
Well, yeah, but seriously, let's like you and I were talking about before we started the cast. He's not Shanahan. Shanahan had heart. The Wings became winners and started winning championships when you got someone like Shanahan, who, yeah, he had some talent, but he grabbed that locker room by the nuts and said, "We're winning. I don't care," you know. And Thornton's not like that. He's a puss, you know.
Yeah,
so
I think that.
That's
the
my
Sharks
opinion.
Had Stanley Cup winning teams, not this year, but in the past few years, they had teams that could have won the Cup, but they didn't have that leader in the locker room, and I think that was the difference for them. Yeah. I think they had all the talent they needed, and they just couldn't quite seal the deal.
Exactly, and of all the reasons I hate Joe Thornton, that is the one I hate the most, because if I had, you know, it's like I wish I could put my spirit in his body and with his skill, I would be
all right, Rudy.
Hey, I'm just being honest here. Ask Carl, he'll agree with you.
All right. So I got another, more of a comment than a question here. I'm going to just kind of summarize this.
That's okay.
From Jeremy Cozy. And he's basically, concerned, and maybe not concerned, maybe not the right word, but he's saying that because it's a short season and because there's so much craziness and people are starting to get PO'd at the Wings, that maybe they're fair weather fans. Maybe they weren't true fans to begin with, and maybe they're just on the 21 playoff year bandwagon. What do you think about that?
I think it is a product of the Wings fans not ever having to deal with a situation, and everyone's panicking because everyone wants to keep the streak alive. And I would love to keep the streak alive. I think it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, streak in all of sports. But
by far the longest playoff streak. Nothing else is even close.
Active, yeah. Actually, I think the Bruins have the record. It's either Bruins or the Canadiens have like 33. It's insane.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Actually, I thought it was. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I hope you're wrong.
we'll look it up. We'll have our Squall Cat go look that up.
Yeah, we'll look that up for next. We don't have a producer. Where's Lord Murphy?
Yeah. Damn. Come on, Murph. Come back to us. But I think there's a little bit of panic. While there are definitely a lot of bandwagon Red Wings fans out there, and those people drive me insane.
Your Red Wings are the Yankees of hockey, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but I also think we've got some of the smarter fans in the league and at times. And I think that I don't think it's all the fair weather people. I think I guess to summarize what a response for Jeremy is, I think the people who are actually calling them out are actually the people who care. The people who, if they're bandwagons fans, they just wouldn't give a damn anymore. They just, okay, I'll find something else out. And, you know, you got, it's just weird because, again, this team hasn't had to deal with a situation in 20 years. It's probably one of the best run sports organizations, period. I mean, they are the model of consistency. It's ridiculous. So that, yeah, that is my answer.
I mean, they've consistently made deals for veteran players and also had a great farm system to be able to keep it going this long. It's really crazy. It's hard to believe. I'm not going to completely disagree with Jeremy. I'm going to say it's a case by case basis. Some people are fair weather fans and you're 100% right. Some people are just concerned about the Wings. So that's tough. You know, it's tough. We get spoiled. We made the playoffs 21 years in a row and it's normally not even close. This year it's going to be close. Right now, we have the edge. Statistically, we're looking pretty good for a team in eighth, but it could really go either way. It depends on a few games here, but usually it's not even close. You know, usually we're no worse than a sixth seed. Usually we're in by now. So
yeah,
I think people are just frustrated. I think people are concerned. You know, so.
Well,
I understand. I understand the fair weather fan comment, and I can't 100% disagree with it. I hate to slap that label on everyone that's concerned about the Wings. How about that?
Yeah, I'll take that. That's pretty good.
All right, we had some other stuff. It's not necessarily questions, just comments people have made, and I've heard a lot of people voicing concerns about Kyle Quincy's play lately. What do you think about that?
I wanted Kyle Quincy to go away and never show his face again at the beginning of the season. However, I will say he's probably one of the most improved. Him and Cleary, in my mind, have been probably the most improved guys since the beginning of the season, and I have no issue with Quincy. I saw some of the comments that were made on the page. We were talking about him yesterday, and I don't really think it's so much. You can't blame a player for making one bad move, you know? You can't play a perfect 60-minute game. No one does, you know. And sometimes when you screw up, the puck ends up in the back of the net. That's life. That's hockey. The Red Wings have made a career out of doing that to other teams. So I don't think Quincy's playing bad. I think he had a bad, you know, a bad break yesterday, which cost us a goal, I believe. And, of course, you know, he also just got his melon rocked, you know. He came back from cheek surgery, so you never know. Maybe he's just getting used to that cage. I mean, I'm not making excuses for the guy, but as someone who's gotten hit in the face with a puck before, it screws you up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say the same, really. I thought he was terrible at the beginning, and I was on board with everyone wanting to move him. He really got it together, and for a stretch of the season, he was probably our second-best defenseman out there. And then he got hurt, he comes back, he's a little rusty. I will say this, he's wearing the cage, but he's not afraid to hit guys. He's still out there doing his job. He's really playing hard, and he's out there. He's not skittish in any way. So I'll say that for him. I think that he's just a little rusty. And, you know, if it were me, I would think about sitting him down and maybe playing Ian White. But I'm not Mike Babcock. Or, you know, if I was, we'd be in first place, obviously.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I respect your hockey knowledge.
Oh, boy. And then the last concern here is Ryan Holton. And he's basically saying, and I think this is a very valid point, that if we can't beat elite teams in the regular season, we're not going to be able to beat them in the playoffs. And before I let this loose to you, I'll say that with last night's loss, we've lost 8 in a row to the Hawks. And if we make it into the playoffs, our most likely team we're going to be matched up against is the Hawks.
Yeah, I agree. You know, but again, I think a lot of our discussion today is boiled down to this is a team in rebuilding, and they're still putting up a fight, and they're still giving themselves a chance to make the playoffs. So I wouldn't really knock them on that. I mean, you know, and realistically, other than that one blowout game, every game they've had with the Hawks, two of them have gone to shootouts, and one of them was a one-goal, like a 2-1 loss. So it's not like the Hawks are blowing them out. So who knows? You get in the playoffs. Maybe we're the team that ruins the Hawks' magic season. I'll tell you what,
I think you start getting in a hole like this, and it was 7-0, and it's this big cloud hanging over your head. Now we lost another one, and it's 8-0, and it's this big dark cloud, and it's this big long streak, and it seems like this terrible, terrible thing. You know, what is that? Two seasons, or the better part of two seasons now, and you can't think of it like that. You have to go into every game. It's just a game. So if we're in the playoffs and we're playing the Hawks in this game one and we're in Chicago, it's just a game.
Yeah.
And you win one game. Now we just got to beat them one time. Let's beat them one time. Let's end the streak. Just get one win. And we get that win. Now there's no streak. You know, now let's make a streak of our own. Let's win one more. And you just got to take it a game at a time. It's easy to say. I understand how stuff like this gets on top of you. But, I mean, it's a very valid point. We are having a lot of trouble with the Hawks. We had a lot of trouble with San Jose. And I think that the way this team is going is the right way now, because we had the old guard. We had a lot of older players, and we had the same team for years. And these teams are getting younger, faster, better players, improving all the time with their young talent. And now we're doing that. So I think it will naturally work out with Ken Holland behind the helm that now we've got the young guys. Nyquist looks great. Helm will be back better than ever, and we've got some young players that will be, you know, I don't want to say the next Jonathan Toews necessarily, but they're good, fast, young players. You know, I really like Nyquist's hands around the net. I think these guys can really, you know, he could be a 20-30 goal scorer, no problem, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree, not to repeat what you've said. I agree with everything you said. The team's doing it the right way, and I don't think you know, I think if they get into the playoffs, you know, if they make it, you never know. And who knows? Momentum switches real fast. And let's just say Detroit has a good game and shocks them and beats them in game one at home. You never know what can happen.
Yeah, so. That's all. Once the puck hits the ice, anything can happen. And that's the reason we watch. You know, if you knew the Hawks were going to 100% win every time, you wouldn't even watch.
Yep.
So that keeps you going. That's pretty much it for our questions. Did you want to... Maybe we had another poll we were thinking about doing relating to your hockey team. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, actually, I'd like your guys' help. My hockey team was actually over my house last night, and we were having a little bit of a team meeting since I am apparently taking our team over. Hooray for me. And we had 32 team names that we boiled down to four in a tournament, NCAA tournament-style bracket. So we're going to put up the second poll on the Zetter Beard page is going to be my Beer League hockey team's final four names. And I want you guys to vote on it just because I think it's fun. So I'll say the names and then we'll put them on the page. But the four team names we've got are the Fighting Amish, which I don't understand why everyone likes that one, but I guess it's just because it's crazy. There's the Test Icicles, which if you say it fast or it's spelled together, you guys can figure that out. My one Blackhawks buddy actually gave us the suggestion of Off Constantly, because nobody wants to beat Off Constantly. And then my personal favorite is Just the Tippins, mostly because it's also a hockey-related deal with a tippin, and it's still sarcastic and funny. So those are the final four. We're going to put those up. Please feel free to vote. And then my team's actually going to vote on it, too. We didn't have everyone here last night. It was just our main group of guys. And I'll let you guys know what we ended up picking. And maybe we'll put a jersey together and we'll give it away for fun.
I was voting for Zetter Cult and also Zetter Babies, but apparently everyone on the team isn't a Zetterberg fan.
Yeah, so. Unfortunately.
I don't think it made it past the first round.
The Wings fans are definitely – I got too many Pens and Chicago fans on my team. I need to start cleaning house now that I'm the captain. So.
Yeah, I don't think the Pens guys should maybe make the cut.
So
I got one more I got one more little story here, one more little hat tip to Jordan too, and then I think we could probably start wrapping it up.
Yeah.
And that was when last time we played the Coyotes. This is a fun little Tutu story. I saw he's out on the ice, and he just slams into this guy Bissonnette, and he gets checked, and he drops his gloves. This guy's so mad, comes after Tutu, and Tutu just skates off, never drops his gloves. Somehow Bissonnette doesn't get the instigator. I don't know about that. But then same shift, whole time, for a solid 30 seconds after he gets hit, Bissonnette's just standing there looking at Tutu. Tutu's just skating around doing his job. And then towards the end of that shift, Bissonnette's finally back skating, and Tutu just slams him again and just crawls over the boards real quick, end of the shift. And I thought, that's great, because sometimes you're being out there getting under people's skin. Sometimes fighting isn't the best thing, and to me that was great. That was funny to watch, and I thought that's Tutu right there in a nutshell.
Yeah, I actually saw that, and that was pretty funny because even Mickey was saying about it, you know, him not taking a swing. So it
was, I was laughing so hard.
It was pretty funny. So, but yeah.
So do you have anything to add, Mike, before we close her out?
No, I think, you know, we might have rambled a little bit too much this time. But no, I think it was another.
Get what you pay for.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was another a good first second show. Obviously, if you guys have any constructive criticism or comments or questions, concerns, whatever, please feel free to put everything on the Zetterbeard page. We're trying to make this as interactive as possible. Next week we'll be a little bit more coherent, unless, again, I decide to go to the Caribbean. Which is why we didn't have a show last week. I was actually on vacation, and you guys may or may not see a picture of the Wings jersey in the Dominican Republic. So, otherwise, unless you got anything else, Zetterbeard, I think we can call this one a successful show.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I don't want any constructive criticism, only glorious praise.
All righty. Well, that's it for this week. Let's hope we get some wins. We got some positive news to talk about next week. You've been listening to the Zettercast. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he